The question is, are you ready for me? You know, we're going to have some fun today. You know, you need to relax a little bit. You know, you've already designated this time to be in the house of God, right? So why not sit back and enjoy what the Spirit of God has for you today? Amen? So many times we're rushing here, rushing there, rushing here, trying to get things done, and we just need to sit back and relax a little bit and enjoy what God has truly provided for us. Because there's so many things. So many things. I'm going to depend on the Spirit of God to deliver, because, see, each and every person's on different levels. There's no way I can minister to you. If you're coming to hear me, then you're already in trouble. But you need to be pulling from the Spirit of God that is within me. Because, see, I've been, Miss Carol said it, I've been forged in the fire. I've been down a many a road. But God is faithful. Amen. That's right. And you know what? I see some faithful people here too. Because you've been down a many a road. And you wouldn't be here. Now, you know, that's the best thing to do is just stand there and say, is look at, you know, I'm still here. That says a whole lot right there. I'm still here. You know, all right, we'll save that for a little bit. Well, praise God. You know, when I was growing up, the minister who was going to minister that day had to be able to play. If he didn't play, his wife had to, or his children had to sing, or somebody like that. So in order for me to minister, I got to play something. So, all right. Played this song here many years ago, and I always think of David's harp when I get this old harp out. Thing hadn't been tuned up in many, many years, and I told might have been Cheryl there a while ago that the tuner that I used to tune it was sitting there on the shelf, and I had a battery that I had in it, and I said, and the date on the battery was 2007. So it'd been a while since it'd been tuned up. So, but how about a little bit from glory to glory? He's changing me. Amen. From glory to glory, you're changing me. Closer and closer to what I should be. A new creation, your poetry. From glory to glory, you're changing me. You are the Potter, I am the clay. Mold me and shape me. Use me this day. A vessel of honor, I pray that I'll be. From glory to glory, you're changing. From glory to glory, you're changing me. I was a sinner. Oh, sorry. I was a sinner, Lord. Now I'm set free. You gave me power to tread on my enemy. From glory to glory, you're changing me. The glory you give us will make us one, that the world may believe in the Father's own Son. And when they behold us, they will see from glory to glory, you're changing me. From glory to glory, you're changing me. I was a sinner, Lord, now I'm set free. You gave me power to tread on my enemy. From glory to glory, you're changing me. From glory to glory, you're changing me. Well, sorry about the mislick there. You know, so many people want to be perfect in everything they do, and my wife gets on me all the time because I try to be a perfectionist at a lot of things and puts a lot of pressure on myself. But like I was saying at the beginning, you know, we need to just relax, right? We got a race to run. We don't cross the finish line when we start, do we? We got a gap in there. It's got to be filled. So anyway. So would y'all like to hear another one? Okay. How about y'all help me sing a little bit of Washed in the Blood? Not washed, but washed. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing fire? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb. Will your soul be ready for the mansion bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? You washed in the blood of the Lamb. All right. I put on a few pounds since the last time I used that too, so I had to get out the strap stretcher to get that thing on. Well, as you can tell, it's casual Sunday. My wife dressed me this morning, but while she wasn't looking, I slipped on these shoes. Well, if you hadn't been praying, you should have been. Because now you're in for something that is either going to say, oh yeah, or oh no. You know, I really am honored to be able to speak today. I don't take this very lightly. I never have any time I've been able to teach or preach or wherever it's been. And it's only took me 32 years to get here. Anyway, I appreciate the opportunity to do it. It's very humbling. But I'm not gonna be teaching anything that the Spirit of God hadn't showed me, because I've prepared my heart for this for a long time. And anyway, I want you to pull from me, and may the Spirit of God bless you where you're at and receive answers, because today is the day of salvation. And in salvation, there's everything that's ever needed for you to walk this life. And, you know, a lot of people just think that's being saved, but it's a lot more than that. Your healing's in that. Your prosperity's in that. Your forgiveness, the ability to speak and to say and to do is in that. You know, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, so many people don't understand the righteousness, the right standing, that you've been made right with Him. And that you don't have to prove yourself no more. All you got to do is receive and accept what He's done for you. That's the preaching of the cross. That is what I growed up on, sitting in front of the TV set listening to Billy Graham saying, you need to get your life right. Yeah. But then understanding who you are. Knowing where you've been, but where you are, and where you're going. And not allowing the past to pull you back and keep you from being all you can be in Christ. Yeah. So, anyway. But I'm privileged to have my wonderful wife here. She's been with me for 37 years. You know, Ecclesiastes 9:9 says that they are a reward for all your labor here up on the earth, your wife is. And I'm thinking, what did I ever do to God to get that? No, she is truly my helpmate. She is the one who keeps me straight. And, you know, when I went through all the things that I went through, my wife was on the floor in UVA hospital praying, and the whole ward knew exactly where we stood, because they could hear it from the room. And I'm very thankful for my wife. Woman was took from man's side, ain't that right? Not from his head, not from his foot, but from his side. That's because she is right there beside me. She has been, she always will be. And like I said, we've been together 37 years, and I'm very thankful that he gave me the perfect wife. Can we take that off of tape? Well, unlike my son, he texted me and suggested some things I minister on today, on the perfect son. And I sent him one back explaining about that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And he said, well, I'm also humble and perfect. So I said, well, we'll be talking about the perfect son, but it won't be mine. You know, for the past couple of years, Pastor Todd's been teaching us since he took over as head pastor here at Christian Growth Center. And I want to refresh a few of those things before we get into what the Lord showed me. He's taught us about the shift that's been taking place. Y'all remember that? That this is going to be the epicenter of the New River Valley. And you're thinking, well, you know, it sure don't look like that. That's where faith comes in. He said that we're understanding that we're getting in alignment with our assignment for these last days. We've all been paying attention, ain't we? Yes. We're understanding that we are to sow faith, grow in righteousness, and go into all the world. Sow, grow, and go. We've heard that many times. Is that right? He didn't change the vision for the church. He just redefined it the way I see it. Understanding where we are as a body and what we're to do. Right? And finding out where our place is and how we fit into that. You know, because if you're not doing that, then I encourage you to do that today. You need to know what your part is in this church and be ready to move when He says move. Right? Because I believe He's hearing from the Spirit of God. Well, at least one person does. All right? And he's also been teaching us to know that the love of God is the glue that holds it all together. Ain't that right? It is the love of God. That's how your faith works, is by the love of God. And understanding love and the compassion. And another part in that vision was moving from complacency to compassion. That's what the church is, that's what this body is called to do. We're getting ready to move into a place of compassion that the likes of this valley has never seen. And he's also been teaching us that we're here in the last part. We're supposed to start declaring the things God has said about us. What has God been saying about us? This is a house of miracles. We are a strategic church. We are a spiritual hospital for people who are coming in here hurting. We are the exploding word and worship center of the New River Valley. And our battle cry is what?
Restore.
That's right. And we need to be declaring these things over us. So I believe, as we said, under the anointing of God today, that you'll be receiving what you have need of. Because this is the house of miracles. If you need a miracle in your life today, it's going to take place. Amen. If you're needing a healing today, it's going to take place. If you're needing some restoration in your marriage or in your family or in your home or with your children, it's going to take place.
Amen.
If you're just wanting to know about a job, do I take it, do I not, do I move, do I do it? I don't believe you're going to get that. I thank God for the leadership here. And the leading through the Spirit of God. That is helping us set. I'm going to read this because I wrote this down, and this is how the Spirit of God gave it to me, and I want to say it right. Amen. So if you say, well, he's reading this. That's right, I am. I'm reading it because God gave it to me. I thank God for the leadership through the leading of the Spirit that is helping us to set things in order with God's will. Oh, that's so important. Most people don't even know what the will of God is for their life. They're wandering around. They're wandering about, going, just trying to make it day by day, and going, what is my purpose? Why am I even here? What am I supposed to be doing? Have you ever once stopped and asked God, what is your will for my life? I'm excited through all the preparation we are getting ready to. We are getting ready to move as a body into a place that is going to impact the New River Valley, advance the kingdom of God in a way that we have never seen and or ever will again, because I believe through the Operation School Guard, the Spirit of God will usher in a revival that the likes we have only heard about, and we all have a part to play. Operation School Guard is not only going to affect our children, but it is also going to affect our families, which in turn will affect every job, every person, every life in the New River Valley. It's true. Children are our future. And devil, you can't have them. Now, I know Pastor Todd's getting ready to introduce Operation School Guard, but I believe this is going to be a part of it as we hear some from the Spirit of God today. You know, I wondered what my part was, so I've been praying. And I said, well, Lord, how am I going to say that? And then, lo and behold, I get an opportunity to minister. And you know what's amazing? Steve and Meredith Morse is here today. And God, see, you were Bob Lemon's armor bearers for a while. See, the Spirit of God reminded me of some things that Bob Lemon done for this church and said over this church. Things that we have to start doing as a body. Now we just heard what Brother Bob said a while ago about the prophet speaking and heeding and doubling up Yeah, sometimes when we hear things, we just let them lie dormant, but we don't pray them out. We don't pray them through, or we don't look at what our part is to do. But now, I believe, is the set time that we are going to start moving in the direction that this body has been prepared to do. Okay? You know, while I was praying about what I was going to minister, this quote come to me. And I couldn't remember exactly how it went, but I only got part of it. So I went and looked it up on the good old Google system. And it was a quote made by Edmund Burke. Edmund Burke lived in 1729 to 1797, so in the 1700s. He was an Anglo-Irish statesman born in Dublin, Ireland. He was an author, an orator, and a philosopher. Edmund Burke's beliefs, his religious thoughts, was grounded in the belief that religion is the foundation of civic society. He sharply criticized deism and atheism and emphasized Christianity as a vehicle of social progress. I think he was a Christian, don't you? I'm going to read three of his quotes. "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." "Those who don't know history are destined to repeat it." "Nobody made a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could only do little." So you carry these things over into the spiritual realm, because that's what we're here to do. We're to look at things spiritually, right? You wouldn't be here if you... No. "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." Then you can just be an average so-called Christian. Or is that a Christian? Because we're called to be progressing. Ain't that right? From glory to glory, we're supposed to be being changed. Don't be stagnant. Don't be... "Those who know their history are those who know history are those who don't know history are destined to repeat it." That kind of speaks for itself. Do a lot of new people here? There's several new people here. But do you know the history of this church? You know how it was founded? Do you know what it's been through? Do you know its vision? Do you know its ministry? What it's called to do? You ever wonder how come you keep making the same mistakes over? Maybe you don't realize some of the history. Some of the things that's been said over this church. You're trying to make it do something that it wasn't called to do. You ever think about that? "Nobody made a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could do only a little." And so many people think that they allowed the enemy to convince them that my gifts don't matter, or what I do seems very little or inept to do what needs to be done. That's a total lie. Total lie. "I've got to have you." You know, I was introducing my wife and my son, but one thing I failed to do that I had wrote down was to introduce my church family, because this is my family. Now, you are closer to me than my natural kin, because, see, we have a common bond. It's called the blood of Jesus. So you see, I've been reborn, and now I'm in a different family. So, I introduce you today. I've got to have you. You've got to have me, whether you like me or not. Yeah. But you got to have me. I got to have you. I got to have what God has put in you. Only you can provide that. That's right. Now I want us to look at some history from God's Word. Jeremiah 6, 19 through 20. Now I'm going to be reading out of the New Living. So I think this New Living's a little bit different than mine because it's old. Like me. Jeremiah 6, 16 through 19. It says, "So now the Lord says, stop right where you are. Look at the old godly ways. The old godly way, and walk in it. Travel its path, and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. I set watchmen over you who said, listen for the sound of the trumpet. But you replied, no, we won't pay attention. Therefore, listen to this. All you nations, take note of my people's condition. Listen, all the earth. I will bring disaster upon my people. It is the fruit of their own sin because they refuse to listen to me." Now, a lot of people get all bent out of shape when they think God's doing something to them. That's where most people don't even understand God at all, or haven't even spent time to develop a relationship with God. Do you understand that the hand of God's blessing is upon you, and that you can do things to remove the hand of blessing from your life? Oh, come on now. I need to get a little better than that. I've been in that position many times through criticizing, through getting upset, through just being out of control when I'm taught better. Now we're going to get into the godly ways, which are the what? We just read it, the old ways. And I'm not talking about when mom and them used to do things. I'm talking about God's been around for a long time. He is the I Am. He is the Ancient of Days. We're talking about God's ways. The old ways. The laws that established this earth, that set it in motion, that set the course of life. We're talking about them ways. Okay? So you need to understand that God's not hurting anybody or killing people or destroying it. If it's killing, destroying... talking faster than my brain's going there. If it's killing, stealing, and destroying, who's that coming from? The devil. If it's not ministering life and life abundantly, then it's not from God. And don't be thinking any other way. Okay? So as you, whether you're in an early walk with God or have been around God for a long time, you need to understand that God is good. All the time, God is good. And He only wants your best. And He always has your best in mind. Now, if you won't stop and listen to Him long enough to get the direction for your life or get where you need to be or understand that when you go out here and you make a stupid choice and you did it yourself, and then the enemy comes and tells you, well, where's your God now? Or look what God did. Look what God allowed to happen to you. Then you don't know God at all. And you better be checking up on yourself, because you're listening to something that you should never listen to. That's right. So, God's hand of blessing, this is Jeremiah. So, Jeremiah, do you know a lot of history about Jeremiah and the church? And no, well, that's just being honest. But Jeremiah was right before, he knows that these people are getting ready to go into exile. And so he's delivering a message from God here to let them know there's still time. You still have an opportunity here. If you'll do this, then God will do this. But what did it say? What did they say? But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. Now you may be thinking, boy, that's pretty strong. But So many times we make decisions that we go, no, that's not the road I want to take. Sobering, but true. And believe me, I've done it many times. Yeah. But thank God for His faithfulness, His mercy, which is new every morning. Amen. And if the Lord hadn't kept me, then I don't know where I'd be. Well, I have an idea, but I'm still here.
Amen.
All right, now let's look. So the old way, a godly way, you have to look for it and walk in it. Yeah, that's, see, the things of God are not suggestions. Do you know that? This is not a suggestion. When you read this, these things are commands. And so many people, whether it's pride or whether it's their upbringing or whether I live in the United States and I want to vote, that's not the way the kingdom of God works. Do you know that? Have you been around the kingdom of God long enough to know that the kingdom of God system works on command for your benefit? So when God it gives you something, it's your choice whether you take it and do something with it or whether you just leave it there. Well, I'll have to think about that a while, which you never get back to doing anything with it. Or you move with it. Yeah. So we allow the king, we gotta be kingdom of God oriented people, because that's who we are. And that's the kingdom we're talking about and functioning from. Right? Is this too deep? Okay. All right. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 13, 12 through 18. Now, I wanted to title this message, and I'm going to call it Proofs in the Pudding. Proofs in the Pudding. Bob, you don't do that, do you? Just got all kinds of notes and sticky things and this and that sticking everywhere. Okay. Y'all ain't in no hurry, are you? I mean, are you going to relax? Are you relaxed?
Yes.
Do you sense the Spirit of God, the love of God in your heart? And because, see, it's a relaxing thing, and that's what I wanted it to be. You know, that's what I was believing for it to be. Because, see, we need to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You know, if you want to change something out here, if you want to change something in your life, then you need to hunger and thirst after God. And I tell you, He's not going to leave you disappointed. Yeah? Don't wait till life deals you some kind of blow to get your attention. Yeah? Yeah. Let's take advantage. I mean, we're healthy, wealthy, and wise. Ain't that right? My mama used to say that over me all the time when she put me to bed. My son's healthy, wealthy, and wise. Mm-hmm. Didn't have two quarters to rub together back then. All right, so 2 Chronicles 13, 12 through 18. All right. So this is in this history, this is Israel fighting with Judah. So, the Israelis kind of dividing themselves through tribes. So Judah is wanting to fight with Israel here, and so there. This is what's getting ready to happen. Now I want to read it the way it says it. It says, "So you see, God is with us." Now this is Judah talking. "So you see, God is with us. He is our leader. His priests blow their trumpets and lead us into battle against you. O people of Israel, do you not fight against the Lord, the God of your ancestors? For you will not succeed." Meanwhile, Jeroboam had secretly went sent part of his army around behind the men of Judah to ambush them. When Judah realized that they were being attacked from the front and rear, they cried out to the Lord for help. Then the priest blew the trumpets. The priest did what?
Blew the trumpets.
And the men of Judah began to shout. What did the men do?
Shout.
And the sound of their battle cry, at the sound of their battle cry, God defeated Jeroboam and the Israelite army and routed them from this place, if you can say that, and the army of Judah. The Israelites' army fled from Judah, and God handed them over to Judah in defeat. Now, and then it says on here that there was over 500,000 casualties, is the way it puts it in my Bible. 500,000. What's the bloodiest battle that's ever been fought in the United States? What is it? Civil War, that's right. But you remember which battle? Civil War? Antietam was a bad one. Gettysburg, that's right. You have any idea how many people died in that battle? I don't have the exact number, but I think it was around 59,000 men died in that one battle. Whole brigades were completely annihilated, gone. So we're looking at a battle here that took almost, what, 10 times that many? 500,000. I couldn't even imagine. To get the complexity of what kind of battle took place. Sometimes I think we're so busy reading that we just don't even comprehend some of the things that went on. 500,000 people. And these were Israelites fighting against the Israelites. Judah against Israel. But the priest did what? Blew the trumpets. And the people did what?
Shouted.
And it brought what?
Victory.
So his priest blew the trumpets and led us into battle against them. All right, let's back up just a little bit further in history. Let's go to Joshua. Last time I heard this preached, I think Reggie taught on it. Joshua chapter 6. And we'll start on verse 1. Now, you remember Bob Lemon came in here and introduced the shofar. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
Y'all remember that message? Or some of it? And how that we were going to ring the shofar. That we were going to be sounding it from time to time in this building. And that it was going to be... Now, has anybody ever done any studies on the shofar? Okay. All right, I have a little. That much. But there was four different calls on the shofar. And so I don't know the Hebrew names for them. But it's quick and simple. You can go on Google and pull them up or YouTube them or whatever you want to. But I encourage you to do that. You need to know what each sound was for. Don't you think it's important that we know when we hear the sound of the trumpet that we know, okay, this means attack. I think one of them meant repent. Well, we don't like to talk about repenting, do we? Not a lot. No, we're above all that, right? I don't know. No, I think that is one of the keys to your life is to repent. Because when God shows you things in your life, the first thing you ought to be doing is repenting. Yeah. You want to step closer to God? Then lay the pride down and say, Lord, I missed it. Now I'm repenting. And repenting is not just that you're sorry for it. Well, I'm sorry I did that. No, that's not repenting. Repenting is to completely turn around and go the other way.
Amen.
That's repenting. And believe me, I've tried some of the other two. And you have too. Yeah. Okay, so I got my sound man is getting ready to blow the shofar for us as we move along in this. So if our timing's off just a little bit, that's good, because we're going to have fun with it, right?
That's right.
But we're going to understand some things by the Spirit of God. Now the gates of Jericho was tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho. What did the Lord say? I have given you Jericho, its kings and its mighty warriors. Your entire army is to march around the city once a day for 6 days. How many times? Once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark. Who's walking ahead of the ark? The priests. Each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the city 7 times with its priest blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the horns, have all the people give a mighty shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse and the people can charge straight into that city, into the city. So Joshua called together the priest and said, take up the Ark of the Covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave the orders to the people, march around the city, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the Ark of the Lord. After Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horn started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing. So the priests, they were blowing the horns as they marched, and the priest carrying the ark, and the priest carrying the ark of the Lord's covenant, followed behind them. Armed guards marched both in front of the priest and behind the ark, and the priest continually blowing the horns, continually. Then Joshua said, do not shout, do not even talk. Joshua commanded, not a shout, not a word from any of you until I tell you to shout, then shout. So the ark of the Lord was carried around the city once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. That was the first day. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests again carried the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests with the ram's horns marched in front of the ark, in front of the ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Guards marched both in front of the priest with the horns and behind the ark of the Lord. All the time the priests were sounding the horns. On the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. You know, we blowed it 3 times and some of you are already getting, I can tell. Really? Really, Kelvin? Really? Is this what you got? Come on. I can tell the Spirit of God is telling me, but I'm telling you, if you'll listen to what the Spirit of God is saying, it's time to wake up, folks. We are in the last days. On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the city as they had done before. But this time, they went around the city seven times. The seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on the horns. Different time now. Different sound. The long blast. Let's hear it one more time, Mike. So now we hear the long blast, right? The long blast. Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." Oh. Hallelujah! Now I know this is natural, but what you're doing in the spirit realm is dealing a blow to Satan. That only when you get to heaven will you know. See, the word of God is, you only know in part. No matter how much you grow, how much you learn, you still only know part. And so you'll be learning. It's a life. It's a lifestyle. A lifestyle of learning. Right? So, as we do this Operation School Guard, I know by the Spirit of God, I have been commissioned to proclaim you priests and watchmen for this time. Now, I hadn't talked to Pastor Todd about that, but I know in my heart that, you know, I wonder why the church, a lot of people left and a lot of people came back and some people left, and you know, and I've watched this church go through many transitions. But now, the priests of God are here. The priests of God are here. You are called for this time. You are going to be the watchmen on the wall. You're getting ready to. You're getting ready to take something back that has never been took. And it's going to be by the Spirit of God, and it's going to be by the blood of the Lamb. But if you think you're going to go into this without, what's the words? Thank you, Lord. Opposition's one. And I'm about to get the other one. It's coming. Persecution. If you think you're going to take these things without any opposition or any persecution, I got news for you. You're wrong. Now you think about it. When you became a Christian, first thing you wanted to do was tell somebody, didn't you? Yeah. Because something got shed abroad in your heart, and it's called the love of God. And it was shed in there by the Holy Spirit. You couldn't wait to tell somebody what happened to you. Yeah? But just as soon as you told the wrong person, it's just a phase. I'll get out of that for long. Uh-huh. And then when you got filled with the Holy Spirit and you spoke in tongues and you told somebody, man, I tell you, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I started speaking in tongues. That, what kind of persecution did you start getting then? Oh, you're one of those. Okay. And then you turned around and you told, you know, I had this terrible headache, but, you know, I read in God's Word that I have all kinds of benefits. And it said He forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. And I tell you, that was a disease at that time. I wasn't at ease at all. And I just believed God and my headache left. And Miss Judy's back there because I remember there was a time she was delivered right up here from migraines. and ain't never had one since. Okay, okay. 1993. 45 years. What a testimony. What a testimony. So we're seeing when and it'll get voiced. Well, what does that church think they're doing? Who do they think they are? What right? Who gave them the right to do that? Are you ready for that? Huh? It's going to come. You think the enemy's just going to, y'all go ahead. I know my time's short. It ain't going to happen. But you got to understand it. We're not wrestling against. Ain't that right? Yeah. This is going to be a spiritual battle. But it's going to produce natural results. We're not going to wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not going to criticize. Well, I don't know if Pastor should have done it that way or not. I don't know who come up with this booklet or how. I haven't seen any of them. All I know is there's been a lot of preparation gone into it. There's been a lot of prayer. This body's been praying. I tell you, sometimes. But I think just us understanding some history, Joshua, and understanding why the trumpets are being blown, what the watchman's to do, what a priest's supposed to do. Well, you say, I'm not a priest. Is that what God says? Who's? You are? Okay. Do we know where that's at? Well, I'll help you. I know where it's at. But we're seeing a pattern here. The priests are what? They're out front, right? They're sounding the alarm. They're sounding the horns. They got to know what the horns signal is for. They got to know what the commander's going. Okay, we need the long blast now. We need this. But the priests sound it, right? Right? Okay, Revelation 5. And I'm just about done. Are you still relaxed? That's what I want to know. Is this good?
Yes.
God's word's good. I don't care who's bringing it. God's word's good. Yep, I did say Revelation. Revelation 5, verse 6. Yes. And I looked and saw a lamb that had been killed, but was now standing beside the throne, and the four living beings, and among. I apologize. I'll try again here. I looked and saw a lamb that had been killed, but was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, and are sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And as he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they had gold bowls filled with incense, the prayers of God's people. Think your prayers don't matter? And they sang a new song with these words: "You are worthy to take the scroll and to break the seal and open it. For you were killed, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become God's kingdom and his priests." and they will reign in heaven. Oh, that's right. They will reign where? On the earth. You are to reign as a priest upon this earth because the blood of Jesus means something. Allow the Word of God to renew your mind to who you are. We've heard Pastor Rob preach it many times. See yourself as God sees you. Mm-hmm. And 1 Peter 2:9, this kind of seals the deal for me. He says, for you are a chosen people. You are a kingdom of priests, God's holy nation. His very own possession. This is so you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Priest to do what? Show the goodness of God. You know, you can't show somebody goodness if you don't understand goodness. We said it earlier, if you're blaming God for your situation or you've allowed the enemy to convince you that God's your problem or, you know, and the list goes on and you hear it out here every day and most time from religious people. I just don't understand why God's doing that. I don't understand why God took that girl in that car crash. I don't understand why God did this. That's because God didn't do it. That's easy. God didn't do it. The bottom line, God didn't do it. And then they'll turn right around and get mad at you when you tell them. I had a boy at work the other day. Well, it's been a little while. And he told me, he said, he come in, he was having a day. He was. And he said, well, God's in control. I looked at him, big smile on my face. I said, he is? What's he in control of? And it kind of got him a little bit because he had to stop and think. He looked at me and he said, well, he's in control of everything. I said, he is. I said, he must not be doing a very good job. Well, he didn't like to hear that because, first of all, he's religious. And I could tell it coming out in him. It was oozing. It was starting to ooze. You ever seen something ooze? Well, it was starting to ooze because now he's starting to get defensive. I said, so what did you have for breakfast this morning? I kind of lightened it a little bit. And he said, well, I don't know. I had some cereal, I think. I said, so God chose you to get cereal this morning. Is that what, since he's in control of everything? He said, well, no, I don't guess he did that. I said, right. So you got a part to play too, don't you? So I said, so many people want to make God as their excuse. And I said, I've done it too. I used to do it all the time. Well, if God wants me to have that, or if it's God's will, then eventually I'll, you know, if this happens. That's not right, folks. And that kind of mentality will get you in a lot of trouble. And the enemy will use that to browbeat you and keep you in a place that you don't need to be. I encourage you today. I encourage you to read your Bible every day. No matter if your head is getting it or not, your heart is, because that's what God is in the business of. He's in the business of heart changing. I tell you, your head will catch up eventually. If it don't, then, well, you're like me, you got a lot of work to do. Anyway, all right, I'm going to finish up with Corinthians But I want you to understand something, that I love you. And I want to tell you the truth, because, see, I'm more accountable for what I'm saying. When I stand in front of somebody and teach, you're more accountable. And just because I'm telling you these things, I have to practice them too. And the proof's in the pudding. So, will you ever see me frustrated? Don't answer, son. Yeah. But I'm quick. I've learned that the Spirit of God in me quickens these things to me. I become more aware of what's going on. When a symptom or something is coming, when the enemy's trying something, then I'm more aware because I'm understanding that things are not just natural anymore. They are spiritual. Everything you do, everything you say, everything you come in contact with is spiritual. And you need to understand that as a Christian. Let's look at that. So we back that up with the Word. And you don't ever take anybody's word for it. You do the research yourself. If you don't know the Word of God, then you're already in trouble, so to speak. Because when somebody's trying to come off with a excuse for what ain't working in their life, and they're trying to pass it on as, well, God's using this to teach me something, or it may not be His will, or some kind of far out there stuff that we have allowed religion to teach us, then you're in trouble. And that does not agree with God's Word. The more I read it, okay. All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That's a good place to start, eh? Hey, honey, that's New Testament too. She knows I get a gouge in there every once in a while. We'll be sitting there looking for something. I said, that's New Testament, honey. She knows where it's at. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Got a few scriptures here to read. Let's start in verse 18. It says, I know very well how foolish the message of the cross sounds to those who are on the road to destruction. But we who are being saved recognize this message as the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy human wisdom and discard their most brilliant ideas. So where does that lead the philosophers, the scholars, the world's brilliant debaters? God has made them all look foolish and has shown their wisdom to be useless nonsense. Now we need to stop right there. You need to understand that education is important, right? But done without God is what? Useless nonsense. If you take God out of it, you just took the very life out of it. The very thing that gave it life, that gave it the understanding to get it to be education, if I can say it that way. Man, we spend millions and millions of dollars, probably billions of dollars on education. Yeah, there's schools all over the place, colleges, and most of them are trying to do it without God. Yeah, we spend millions and probably billions of dollars on physical stuff. You know, getting buff, so you don't have to get a strap stretcher out to get you all to harp on. We spend a lot of money on that, don't we? But just the other day, we had a man in here that, hey, opened my eyes to some things that I need to start changing some of my lifestyle. It's important, ain't it? Spirit, soul, and body. Hey, if you feel bad, how effective are you going to be for God? Is that true? Yeah, if I don't feel like getting up, then how effective am I going to be for God? But it's not God's fault. God has provided things for me that now it's back in my lap. Ain't that right? What am I going to do with it? Am I going to allow this to take place in my life? Or am I going to do something? Are we going to blow a trumpet? Or sound the ram's horn? Say, hey, if I have to do it every morning, I'll get my wife up with it every morning. I'm thinking about ordering me one. I really am. I like the sound of it. Oh, yeah, I'd see the look right now. If you don't know what the look is, you hadn't been married long enough. But I'm not making light of education here. Neither is God's Word. Neither is Paul as he's writing this. But you've got to understand its place. Without God is what the problem is. Okay? Since God in His wisdom saw to it that the world would never find Him through human wisdom, He has used our foolish preaching to save all who believe. Now, some of the things I may have said may sound kind of foolish, especially to your mind and to this, but in your heart, you know it's the truth. Yeah. Let's skip down to verse 30. I'm trying to move on here. He said, God alone made it possible for you to be in Christ Jesus. He done what? He made it possible for you to be in Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made Christ to be wisdom itself. You want wisdom? Let Christ be your wisdom. He'll show you. He'll teach you. You have the Spirit of God in you to help you, to train you, to teach you, to nurture you through life, to explain what's going on in this situation. He is the one who made us acceptable to God. He made us pure and holy. He made us what? Pure and holy. I'm telling you, the blood is speaking on my behalf. The blood is speaking on your behalf. He has made you pure and holy. You quit looking at people any other way. I'm talking about Christian people now. And He gave Himself to purchase our freedom. As the Scripture says, the person who wishes to boast should boast only of what the Lord has done. Mm-hmm. It says, dear brothers and sisters, chapter 2, it says, dear brothers and sisters, when I first came to you, I did not use lofty words, brilliant ideas to tell you God's message. For I decided to concentrate only on Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling. Now, he came, Paul recognized the importance of the gospel. And trying to do it in this body, just like me standing before you, it's not easy. But in reverence to God and what His Word can do and say to you, then recognize that He did this under the anointing and not as you receive from a man, but as you receive from the Spirit of God. Does that make sense to you? In my message and my preaching, were very plain. I did not use wise and persuasive speeches, but the Holy Spirit was powerful among you. I did this so that you might trust the power of God rather than human wisdom. Yet when I am among mature Christians, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world, and not the kind that appeals to the rulers of this world who are being brought to nothing. No, the wisdom we speak of is the secret wisdom of God, which was hidden in former times, though He made it for our benefit before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would never have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the Scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But we know these things because God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. And the Spirit searches out everything and shows us even God's deep secrets. And then he goes on to say, in this chapter, that But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man don't receive these things. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So when we're among mature Christians, we speak the mysteries and wisdom of God into people's lives. Can you see the importance of coming together as a body? These secret truths are only revealed to the spirit man. And they are for your benefit. Is it very plain? Are we ready to be priests and watchmen? Are we ready for Operation School Guard? We've got a couple weeks to get ready if we're not. I encourage you to take advantage of the things that's going on here at church. I got to come to prayer Wednesday night, and I'm glad I did. I go to bed around 7:30. My day starts at 2:30 in the morning, so I get up early. I like spending time with God before I go to work. So it's not that I ain't praying. It's not that I'm not. And it's like I told Pastor Todd Wednesday night, you know, if he, you know, we don't come, but it don't mean that I'm not praying. That's right. So, I mean, you can't be here all the time. I understand that. But don't limit yourself by not praying. Right? Because we got to take this thing very seriously. We're going to sound some alarms in this. And we're going to have some opposition. And we're going to have some stuff that we're going to have to go through. And we may not agree with everything that's being set up. Or, you know, I got this packet now. But I'm telling you, we're going to make an impact on the kingdom of darkness as never before. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Amen. And we were made for this time. I know that. All right. Everybody enjoy the Spirit of God today?
Yes.
I really did. I thank God for the opportunity to minister. Brother Bob, you got something you need to say, or did I say it all? Or has Pastor Ty got a big mess he's got to straighten out when he gets back? Like another song. Okay, well, we can do another song. It says that they did leave with a song, didn't they? So, you know, one of my favorite songs. We were talking about the old ways, the godly ways. You know, now I understand, you know, Fanny Crosby wrote an estimated 5,500 to 10,000 hymns. And she wrote them under an alias name, because of some of the ridicule and things that... Well, how can one person write so many songs? This is a blind lady. She was blind by... She had something going on, and a doctor came to treat her. And she ended up causing her to be permanently blind. But she wrote all these hymns. And so many people want to discard them as, well, they're unbelief. You know, we Word of Faith people, we don't see it that way. Now, but I'm telling you, now there are some verses that do not need to be sung. But there's a lot of good songs out there. I tell you. Anybody know the song Come and Dine? Great song. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. What a song. Anything wrong with that song? No, that's a call to worship song. That's come to the master song. Okay. I'll quit preaching. My wife says I do enough of that at home. You know, we got to use our faith. I like what Keith Moore says about somebody said something to him about you believe in global warming? He says, I take it one step further. I believe in global melting. He says, heaven and earth is going to pass away. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, according to the Word of God. Is that right? So, anybody know a little bit of the Sweet By and By? There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our day. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.